I'm Carl Lamar.
When you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks, it's time to tune into The Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
You know, the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers, when we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Wow. Says the anti-American. Whew. My gosh, he was even proud of it. Welcome to I just can't even listen to that. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. The debate last night, what a hot mess. And we'll get to that. We'll get to a lot of things today at today's show. Uncle Milty joins me today on a Friday.
Hi.
I love it. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
And anyway. I'm just so glad that all of you are listening. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to cover a little bit about what we talked about yesterday, too, in the mix, I'm sure. And we'll take your calls as well. There was a development with the school board. And I asked Michelle Bolter to come on to talk about this because this is very interesting in the way that this is being done. And I'll let Michelle kind of talk about this. Welcome, Michelle Bolter. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Tell us what the last, what this latest change is, because it's a big one.
Yes, it's actually a really great change. Mm-hmm. Basically now, anybody that is wanting to run mm-hmm. for state school board, it will be a partisan election.
Mm.
So that means that they have to declare whether they're Republican, Democrat, constitutional, they've got to declare a party and go mm-hmm. through the caucus system,
mm.
which I think is great
yeah.
because we like to say
mm-hmm.
That education isn't political, but it is extremely
but, yes.
political.
Exactly.
And now we've got a platform to hold our candidates to.
Good.
And so mm-hmm. I'm extremely glad for the change and
good.
And I think it's going to be a good change, and hopefully we'll start seeing good mm-hmm. changes on the board.
Yeah, and you are on the board. And you know, what's interesting is it's a 15-member board. Michelle's one of them. And what I find interesting is the critics are saying this will make it political. Do you just laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we've got our head in the sand that it's already
right.
political. It's very political.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I mean, nobody wants to say that discussion about education is political, but it is.
Right.
Because if you want to change the direction of a country,
uh-huh.
The best way to do it is through our education system.
Yes.
And so we need to teach correct principles. And mm-hmm. those that are being voted in, the people doing the voting should see exactly where they align to and
mm-hmm.
should have a platform or a set of principles to hold them to. And then they need to come back and answer to them.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And I just wanted to say, you are running, you're going to run for office.
Yes. So I
awesome.
Have recently announced that I'm going to be running for Utah Senate District 29.
Nice.
So if you live in that district, and
mm-hmm.
if you don't know if you live in that district,
mm-hmm.
you can go to le.utah.gov,
mm-hmm.
put in your address, and it'll tell you what district you're in. But if you're in that district and you feel so inclined,
mm-hmm.
I would love for your support.
So
and the best way to support me is to run for county delegate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Oh, man, are you needed. are you needed? I cannot stress this enough. Please, that district, if you're listening, I think that's Don Ibsen's district. Oh my gosh, are you needed? And you were needed years ago, but you're needed now. And we have got to get you in there. I mean, that is just, we need somebody with really strong principles. And I, and you're definitely it. Michelle, thank you. I'm so glad you're running. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
For that.
I'm excited for wow. this run. And it's going to be an amazing campaign.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot of
and
support.
And so if you want to join Team Michelle, then
oh my gosh.
Let me know, because I am looking for all the help that I can get.
Yes.
And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun ride, and we are going to win.
And let me say this, that when you got into the school board, you have stuck to everything you said you were going to do. Everything.
Yes,
everything. And that's what I want to stress to people is you already now have a track record of sticking to principles, and I'm so happy for you. I really am. We need this. I'm happy for District 29. Really, majorly happy for District 29. So thank you for running. I really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
We need more of you. Appreciate it. All right. Moving on. Wow, that's great. Michelle Bolter running District 29. Man, you got to vote for her. She's great. All right. Well, my gosh, where do we go from here? So much. Yesterday, we talked quite a bit about cuffs and kids and the arresting of kids. I just want to tell you about one kid. This is so interesting to me. This kid's 14. He cuts in line, right? He's a middle schooler. Cuts in line at the lunch line. And he cuts in line at the lunch line and ends up that his name is Ryan Turk, right? Tried to grab a milk, right? Grabs a milk. Hmm. He didn't expect to get into trouble. And he didn't plan to be held in handcuffs. But he's a student. He was a student at this middle school. He was arrested for disorderly conduct and petty larceny for getting a 65-cent carton of milk. And the state of Virginia actually prosecuting the case, went to trial. Can you believe this?
No, I can't. But when's he getting out of prison?
Jeez. Can you? That's what we're talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've had emails and letters into the show thanking us for calling that out yesterday. People are teachers, people in administration. There are people that care about this and are so trying to make sure that people realize how far we're actually going. And it's not good in the schools.
It's not new either, but it's been a gradual increase. And the hyperbole has gotten just out of control here.
Yes, 100%. So let me. It is amazing to me that we have, that we are, well, let's put it this way. Before the 1970s, we didn't have any cops in the schools, right? There were almost zero cops in schools, unless you were a major, major inner city school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers laughed at that idea of expelling kids for all kinds of behavior. And they certainly wouldn't have thought in that decade that we would end up cops in the school arresting for such petty things like cutting in line, tweeting, texting. This is pretty serious. This is pretty serious. And I think we're not understanding how bad it's actually getting, but it's happening all over the country. And that's why we drew attention to our local case of this happening, because yesterday it was in the news that a middle schooler here, you know, sent a text. And even the cops admitted that he was probably joking, but they were going to go through it anyway, and they were going to penalize him anyway. And that really disturbs me, because if you know he's kidding, if you know that he sent a joke and maybe it wasn't funny, all you had to do was talk to him, then why are you going through with that then? Why are you putting a third degree felony on this kid, a middle schooler? You know, I just know how dumb we all were at that age and said and did things that you'd just probably be so embarrassed about. Why this? And if you didn't get a chance to weigh in on that, you can certainly call in right now, because I know that this is a hot ticket item as far as drawing attention to it, because there's nobody that's drawing attention to it. For some reason in the papers, nobody's saying they shouldn't be doing this. Everybody's going, we got to take this serious.
Oh, yeah. Well,
my gosh, really? That serious? I mean, when did we become that, I guess, is the big question. How did we get there?
Maybe what they're really saying is we have to take serious this issue about this overzealous police force in our schools.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. We have a big problem with everybody running around with this sort of like baseline of we're going to take this serious and we're going to throw the book at them. Mm-hmm. We don't care what kid, we don't care how old. I remember the little autistic boy, 7 years old, they put in handcuffs. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, do these people not have sense? What happened to us?
Well, I'm going to bring this up. I know it'll probably not be popular to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But also the crimes that they are charging these children with all happen to be crimes that are based on what the progressive agenda wants, not the conservatives. Like a lot of this gun crime stuff.
Sure.
Race crime issues.
Yeah. Have we gone too far? Do you think it's going too far? Do you think we're getting cops involved at the first instance of anything? This kid cutting lunch and grabbed a milk carton. You don't think the person standing over the lunch area monitoring could have just said, "Oh, hey, get back in line"? I mean, is it that hard to think that the problem could be solved that way? Because we seem to be reaching for every harsh penalty we can in making sure they pay for it. I'm not understanding that. Why can't we just talk to the kids? They're kids. This is where you teach them.
Oh, well, we don't see much of that in our schools.
It's amazing to me. It's amazing. I was telling my husband last night, I'm so embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for the district. I'm embarrassed for the cops. I'm embarrassed for the prosecutor. Who are you? Oh, my gosh. Would you just not be so embarrassed to be prosecuting over words in a text? I mean, come on.
Well, it's the kind of thing that if you saw that it just happened in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York or San Francisco, it wouldn't be so shocking. But St. George, Utah?
Yeah. Let's get this kid. Let's get this 13-year-old.
Before he really causes trouble.
I mean, yeah. Where's our heads? Have we lost our heads? Our ever-loving minds? If I was a cop, I think I'd refuse to arrest them. Yeah, I would refuse to participate. If I was the prosecutor, I'd laugh at it and say, "Are you kidding me? Give me a break, guys." Be right back. We'll take your calls.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
You got a problem. Don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help.
Hi there. Welcome back. I've got Uncle Milty.
I hated that song.
Why?
I just never liked it.
Really?
I didn't like that
just
song.
Just kind of grated on your nerves,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it played a lot.
Ah, yeah. Well, I can help. I got two strong hands. I can help. Certainly, I can help. Well, welcome back to the show. And make sure, hold on, caller, for just a moment. Make sure you get over to Dr. Diet. I've told you that I started using them and lost the weight fast and have kept it off. And let me just say, they're so good at what they do that you will not be disappointed. 628-DIET. Give them a call. If you've got 40 pounds, 50 pounds, 20 pounds even, maybe you just had that 20 pounds and it just won't go away. This would be the place to go because you're actually going to get it done. And I love these guys because they'll coach you through it. They'll make sure your health is good. They will make sure and take all your stats and work with your particular situation and find the diet that's right for you. These are the people to work with. These are the guys. And they are so, so good. And they just just know what they're doing. And so I'm putting you in good hands. And I've known them for a long time. And they really do care about their about all of their clientele that much. They also have classes and all kinds of things. So make sure you get over there. 628 Diet, they're right on the boulevard, and they are fantastic at what they do. And they're just, I don't know, I just like the way that they do it, too, and finding what's right for your body. And they also have appetite suppressants to get you through those first few weeks and all kinds of, you know, all kinds of different things that they can do. 628 Diet, and join their Facebook page at Dr. Diet Wellness on Facebook. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate. So hi. On this, the kid getting in trouble by the police and it being a huge deal, I contribute that to the parents. Mm. I mean, if you look back, when did the students or the schools not be able to enforce discipline on the kids?
Yeah.
Well, so in other words, if your kid got in trouble at school and the principal grabbed a board and whooped your kid, what would you say, Kate?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this.
Oh, really? What would you say?
What would I say? Well, I wouldn't like it. I mean, I'd like to do it. That's what I say.
Well,
if anyone's going to do it, I'm going to do it.
The parents aren't doing it. You know, and that's the thing. And if the student or the school did do it, in my experience, back when I was growing up, parents were complaining about it.
Yep.
Don't lay a hand on my kid, you know?
Yep.
And then the other part of that is when I was growing up, if that kid would have cut in line in front of me, it would have been trouble for him. Now, I might not have kicked his butt. He might have kicked mine. But it wasn't going to go without some kind of confrontation from me.
Right.
I always stood up to him. And,
right.
And nowadays, if you do that, you're in just as much trouble. Or a parent's coming down there with an attorney and prosecuting you. And so that's what I contributed to.
Yes, I agree. I think no matter how good the parenting is, I think you're going to have kids that make big mistakes, and you're going to have kids that do stupid things, no matter how good the parenting is. And I think the problem here is this was words in a tweet. This wasn't somebody planning something. This was words in a tweet, in a message. I think that you have to look at that as words in a message. So it's all.
But you're talking about two different things. I'm talking about the kid that cut in line.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well, the administration, the school has no ramification. They have no way to deal with that. They have no choice but to get law enforcement involved.
No, that's not right. That's not true. They could have said, "Hey, don't cut in line." I mean, how hard is that? Get back in line.
You don't think they tell kids don't cut in line all the time?
Yes, and you know what?
What are you going to do about it?
You know what, though? You're not. Kids are going to cut in line. Too bad. So sad. It's not the biggest thing that's ever happened in our lives, is it? I mean, my gosh, I cut in line. You cut in line. Everyone's done that. So what?
You don't think that's frustrating to the administration?
Who cares? Who cares if it's frustrating to them?
Rules, but then they can't enforce it.
Who cares?
They don't do that.
I know, exactly.
How many times do you want them to say don't do that?
As many times as it takes, as many 13-year-olds are in middle school. I mean, I don't know. I guess this has been going on since the dawn of time. I just think that we take a problem and we make it into a fiasco problem. And I'm wondering why. Do you know, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, this wasn't the biggest issue because they knew they were going to do it. And so they would reprimand them or put them in detention. They didn't haul them off in handcuffs and prosecute them and try to throw them in jail.
Right.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I agree with you. Okay, for example, my sister got in a fight, and I remember this. Actually, I got in a fight in the 10th grade, and I got my butt whooped. Okay, but my sister got in a fight. I think she was probably 9th or 10th grade. Her and another girl in the girl's bathroom. Her and the other girl had to do 3 days together picking up trash
around
the school.
Sounds good.
That was their punishment. That's what came from it.
Okay,
today,
that's great.
You can't do that. You'd have an attorney down there. Child labor.
I don't know about that, though.
Can't make my kid do those things.
I don't know about that. All the parents I know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I agree. I think the parents I know and me, I'd be like, okay, well, that's your consequence, kid. You got to go pick up trash.
Well, it only takes one parent with an attorney to screw up the whole administration.
I think they're letting one parent with an attorney screw up the whole administration.
I agree with you.
So,
no, I think we, say they,
yeah.
We are letting that.
Yeah, we're not.
Like
we're not calling it out.
Politicians do all this and that.
But yeah.
Anyway, that's my two cents on it.
Thanks.
I think it goes back to the administration. They feel like they can't do anything. They don't have the authority.
But this isn't the administration's problem.
They're scared.
It's not. That would not be the administration's problem. You know whose problem that is? The lunch monitor. That's whose problem that is. The administration is making everything their problem. And then what they're doing is they're going, oh, hey, cops, why don't you come in and handle all of our problems? And that's exactly what we're trying to call out.
Okay, I don't think you're right. I think if the lunch monitor says, hey, kid, don't cut in line, and the kid looks at her and flips her off and says, screw you.
Then the lunch monitor goes to the principal. It still is not an administration problem. It is a principal problem then. The principal delegates detention or whatever.
So then the principal comes to the kid. He says, hey, you can't be doing that. And the kid flips him off, says, screw you.
Yep. Then what? Well, he either gets whatever's coming to him as far as what the principal thinks is a pretty good, you know, you get detention, you get this, you get that, or I guess he suspends them. But it doesn't have to go to the administration. The administration is now jumping in on every single item and then revving it up to legal status. That's not okay. That's not okay
to
me.
They're skipping all the BS and they're going straight to that because so many parents in the last 20 years has come down there with an attorney and threatened a lawsuit to get their kids out of trouble. They don't think their kids should be getting in trouble, just like they don't get in trouble at home. It's a society issue, ultimately. Well, but that's what I see happening.
All right. Hey, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right.
I mean, some of that I agree with. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, first of all, I was a professional for decades handling exactly this problem as a behavioral consultant, a behavioral therapist for school districts. I was put in the responsibility to decide what to do in situations like this, and I want to describe how we would handle it. But first of all, we need to talk about the police. In a jigsaw puzzle, when you buy one, say a 500-piece, it's extremely hard to put together unless you have the cover. If you have the cover, you can figure out where the pieces are, correct? We need to look at what the cover is. The cover is the New World Order. We will not have freedom in America. We will be a police state. So this is conditioning to accept a police state. And in the police state, your indoctrination camps, your schools are run like the police decide everything. You can't hardly breathe. You have to do exactly what they say. Just look at the history of Vietnam, China, Soviet Union, so forth. So this is all part and parcel to condition the kids to accept a police state today and in the future. So when their kids, they have kids, they're going to tolerate this sort of thing, the police coming in and start prosecuting them for crimes. Okay, now how to handle the situation of this kid that grabbed the milk and cut in line? I handled it hundreds of times, situations like that. First of all, if it's a normal functioning kid, no disability, and he has a history of this, there should probably be immediate consequences. Schools have 100 consequences.
That's
from
true.
Picking up trash after lunch, from detention, from not being able to go on outings. They should be a consequence immediately. If somebody doesn't have a history, maybe a warning. It really depends on a lot of other factors. That's what you're suggesting, a warning or something like that.
Sure.
The number one action should be, in the old days, would be do nothing at the school, notify the parents. If I did something like that when I was a kid and they notified my father, I would never ever think of doing that sort of thing the rest of my life, the consequences I'd get at home. But if the home doesn't handle it and we have more and more parents that are not good parents, then the school can take actions like this, and the administration doesn't need to be involved. I've had to come up against administration many times at EEP meetings where they want to take a severely retarded person and suspend them for something, like making a fist into a gun, making a hand into the shape of a gun. And I said, there's no way in the world that's going to motivate that child to not display that behavior again. But, you know, it's regulation.
Yeah.
Coming down from the state or from Washington or from the UN.
Yeah.
So it's really important that there's other consequences they can give out. And then if there's a chronic behavior, we do positive reinforcement program where they get a mother's going to make a favorite meal, where they can stay up later, or they can watch TV, or they can get computer time for not displaying these kinds of behaviors. There's all sorts of behavioral programming that occur at school if necessary. But the first thing is to just notify the parent and tell the parent, be sure that this doesn't happen again. Does any of this make sense?
And then if the parents don't do anything, well, then there's lots of little consequences that you can give a kid. But even in that text for the shooting, or not the shooting, see, I'm even calling it that. That's what they want me to call it. The text the kids sent here at this local school, in that situation, I mean, They couldn't have just dealt with that with a conversation. It amazes me that it's gone so far to trying to get a third felony.
If you understand the picture, they're moving us towards a police state, and they have to psychologically train us to accept the police state. It all makes sense. But I'd like to talk about that shooting. So the kid talked about a shooting, or I guess even a
He didn't even do that. I don't even think he did that. He was kidding.
Yeah, 2 points there. One is their psychological condition in two major ways, and I know you kind of talked about this yesterday. One is to accept that we do not have a freedom of speech.
Right.
Of course, if the kid's in the classroom and he's talking of any sort, he's interrupting instruction, you have to have rules against that. If he's on the playground and he's referencing a shooting, he should have that freedom of speech. It all should start the first thing we need to think about all these issues is rights. What is the right of the kid? What is the right of the parent?
Right.
The school has no right to take away a freedom of speech on a playground when it's not causing any problems at all. That's the first thing. So that's the one condition. The other condition is to continue to sensitize us to guns are dangerous.
Yeah.
When they those are the
we
two major
that
conditionings going on in that example. They're intentionally trying to tell the kids that you do not have a freedom of speech and you should accept that and teach them that guns are dangerous, so you should accept gun control, civilian disarmament.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that was great. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
It's
a tough situation because what we're dealing with are parents who a lot of parents today defend their children no matter what they do. So there's no discipline at home.
True.
And then at the other end of the spectrum, the schools, instead of using local teacher discipline, they're calling the police on everything.
Right.
There's no.
And we have a cop in every school now.
Yeah.
Yeah. To deal with the pettiest of things. But the pettiest of things are being turned into crime because that's the only way, the only direction that cops go. And that's not a demeaning statement to a cop. It's just that your job is to
deal with crime.
Yeah, is to deal with crime. And then, of course, you see things as a crime because that's what you're trained to do. And so, of course, you're going to see these petty things as crime. They're not, though. They're not. That's the point. Be right back, and I'll take your calls on the Kate Daly Show.
Down, set, 60 and 2.
888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to rise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
I like that song. Is this song great on your nerves too?
Learn to see.
There was a period of time where the Beatles were not my favorite.
He says that so nice. I like the Beatles.
I do too. But I didn't like everything the Beatles did.
Ah, see? You know what? Maybe I'll make the whole show about playing songs that grate on your nerves. I'll bet I can find a few.
Oh, I have a stomachache.
Well, I have Uncle Milty with me. Welcome back. I've been so impressed with Auto Body Central that I hope you choose them when you get in an accident. They've even fixed my car, and my son got in an accident. They fixed my car, and let me tell you, they just do a stellar job. I mean, they're so good at what they do. They got the most skilled technicians. Also, you get to choose your provider if you get in an accident. So make sure you're choosing ABC, Auto Body Central. They're really that good. I wouldn't recommend them if they weren't. 817-0949. They can fix anything cosmetic if you're getting ready to sell your car or, you know, what have you. And you want to just fix it up a little, spruce it up. Or you have something broken on the inside or outside. I mean, go to them and ask and see if they can do it because they're very, very skilled. And everything I've asked of them, they've been able to do. So that's how impressed I've been is that they're just that good. 817-0949, ABC. All right, I'll take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, very interesting conversation here. Kay, I heard you talk up on K-Talk many years ago.
Sure, sure.
Up in Salt Lake. But your last two callers, the one before, the younger fella, I like how you rightly divided that, Kate, it's not, you know, he's not wrong in every instance, but it's not like the parents have this big organized group and they're you know, with a battery of lawyers going up against the city or the school district and what have you. Mm-hmm. This is more like your last caller, the older gentleman there that talked about the New World Order.
Oh, yeah.
And, and the police. Mm-hmm. By the way, Kate, do you subscribe to the American Free Press newspaper?
The American New Press? You mean the New American?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Not the John, you know, I was a member of the John Birch Society at one time, too, but I'm talking about the American Free Press.
I don't.
Well, John Wayne, before he died, helped to launch that newspaper.
Excellent.
It used to be known as the Spotlight back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
John Wayne and several other great authors and different people were part of them. They're still around. I get the newspaper to the house. But you can check them out on the web. And the reason I bring them up, Mark Anderson there, the editor, and they're based in Washington, he's talked about this New World Order, starting from Columbine, the shootings in the schools, to up the police state. That's what that older, very wise gentleman was talking about last call there. And then when you have foreign entities, like in this case the Israeli lobby, when they went into Durham, North Carolina, and tried to get the police chief to come out to over to Tel Aviv and how to treat Americans the way they treat Palestinians. Now, this may sound far-fetched, but the new mayor in Durham, North Carolina, right there by Raleigh, it's a woman mayor, and she said, no more of this.
Right.
This is a documented case. The point is, this has happened in other cities. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a police state like we've never seen in America before, post 9/11.
Yep.
And, if it takes the American Free Press or Jeff Rentz, I know you know who he is, don't you, Kate?
I do. Yep.
Yeah,
I do.
Jeff Rentz.
Yep.
And formerly on K-Talk is Clyde Lewis, an associate of Jeff Rentz. Clyde Lewis, of course, does that big national show now out of Portland. But they are trying to get the word out,
I admire
how you
calls,
just keep going at them.
Thank you.
And what you told that caller, two callers ago, back to him now, it isn't all the parents getting them to cow down. They are, there's a chain of command, like you were trying to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the principal after the lunch lady, and then you go to the principal. Then from there, you might go to a member of the administration. You don't call in the cavalry.
Right. Exactly. Thank you for your call. I really, really love your call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate that. We've got another caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate, Sam calling.
Hi, Sam.
Just a real quick comment here. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm on
the
cell phone today.
I can.
But I'm just simply going to say that part of the problem with this business going on with the discipline of the kids is the same government that goes after parents for disciplining kids at home or wherever is the same government that'll turn around and use worse discipline than some parents would ever use before all this stuff ever came down.
Yep.
Exactly.
I blame the government for helping create this problem too.
Exactly. This is why I tell parents, don't call the cops on your kids when you want to teach them a lesson. I don't know of anything more stupid somebody could do, because then you're inviting the whole swarm of the entire legal system in when you as a parent should be handling something or go get a counselor, somebody like that. But don't go call the police every time you want to teach your kid a lesson. I don't agree with that at all. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, the problem you got here is this is a created problem. Now we have a generation of parents who have been raised in this environment, and now they don't discipline their kids. And then now if they don't discipline their kids in some cases, then the school step in, tase them, handcuff them. Which is worse, tasing them or handcuffing them or just giving them a spank on the bottom when they don't do something that parents want them to do?
Well, it's actually worse to throw them into the legal system as a kid.
Yeah.
As a 13-year-old, you know, punk kid, which we all were, by the way. If I want to remind everybody, we were all that way. And the administration and the cops and all these prosecutors and everybody are doing is treating them like adults, mini adults. You should know better. You know, a kid that sends a message, he might not even understand what he's doing at the moment. It's a spur of the moment. And usually kids are like that. They're really impulsive and they do stuff.
Yeah.
So why not just say, well, what did you mean? And the minute you find out that he was kidding, especially about this case here, he was kidding, then let it go. But what did the cops do? Well, he's probably kidding, but we're going to nail him. I mean, I just can't. Who are these people that are doing this?
Then the kids have this on their record for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
and it gets in their way. You know, I mean, this is this whole thing started out as a solution in search of a problem, is what I think.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks.
That's all I got.
Lots of wisdom. Thank you.
You know, we often hear the term lowest common denominator.
Yes.
But what we've created here now with this situation.
Common core is what that is, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we've created with this situation is now, instead of using an intelligent method of discipline, starting at the least harmful way to discipline
exactly.
and working up, we've now conditioned everybody that. Mm-hmm. Stealing a carton of milk, cutting in line and grabbing a carton of milk is the equivalent of a school shooting.
Bingo. Bingo.
Everything they do is a huge, huge maximum penalty crime.
Thank you. And we have hyped up and hyped up and hyped up the school shooting to the point of, I don't know, gee, our school can get funding, our administration can get funding through all the hype and everything else. And then we take that hype and a kid can't even say the word gun at school without everybody freaking out on them. When did we get to this point in America that a kid can't even talk about a shooting with another kid without being the culprit? I mean, man.
Especially when we know that less than 50 years ago, uh-huh. we actually had shooting ranges in schools and taught gun safety
right.
in our schools.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And today, even mentioning the word, it'll throw you in jail?
Yes, and even like saying the word bomb at an airport. Do you know that most bombers won't talk about the bomb in line? I mean, I don't know if anyone realizes that, but most bombers don't talk about it. Most kids that do a shooting, honestly, you're not going to probably see, and this is so rare. I can't even believe, it's like, what did I say yesterday? 8 times struck by lightning before you're mm-hmm. ever in a school shooting. And these administrators and these police and everybody's acting like there's a shooting every month. And this was the newest culprit of the shooting, even though there wasn't any evidence or crime committed or planning or it was a joke. It was a joke. I know there's a lot of teachers out there and I feel for you because I know you're seeing this and you're just ticked off that this is going on. And my heart's with you because I can't imagine being in that profession and watching this, this whole rigmarole of this whole legal system brought into the school every day. I'm sorry you're having to deal with that too because I know they speak to me about it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Uncle Milty is with you today?
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Go right ahead.
So I'm listening to your discussion mm-hmm. and I've got some experience. Too much because I don't want to get myself in trouble, but
sure.
I was a foster parent
mm-hmm.
and adopted 2 kids through foster care.
Okay.
Some of the things that they were advised were insane. They sound good on paper.
I'm sure.
But only ultimately with one of the kids, she had some horrible things happen to her,
mm-hmm.
but she got violent at the age of 9.
Wow.
And she dislocated my wife's ribs.
Wow.
And their response with all of our post-adopt support was, you know, just let's put you in all these programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if she gets violent, call the police.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But don't spank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we went on and I'm stuck in the system trying to do my best to follow the rules and mm-hmm. not get myself in trouble. And it finally got to the point where I realized my family's in jeopardy.
I see.
So we did the thing. We called the police. We had them come to the house and they did absolutely nothing.
Wow.
So that day I took her, set her aside, mm-hmm. said, you hurt your mom again, you get physical with her again, I'm spanking you.
Right. What happened?
And guess what?
What happened?
Suddenly the violence stopped.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Just even the threat of that. As a parent.
Well, I spanked her once and mm-hmm. that was it.
Yeah. As a parent. Sure. I mean, you know, I understand as a parent, and I got spanked as a kid. I don't
How
understand.
Many times?
Yeah, a few. I don't understand why people freak out. This is the kind of mentality we have, though, is this mentality and the fear-mongering and everything else. And you're in a different situation. You're dealing with a kid that mm-hmm. you know has, you know, these issues going on through the foster system, which is a different situation than your average kid at school. But so I can
yes.
understand. I can understand that you don't have a lot of avenues to go. But at
yeah.
the same time, why don't they let you be parents if you're going to be parents?
Right.
And deal with
and
that
we,
intuitively.
And at that point, we had adopted, so I was within mm-hmm. my legal rights
right.
to spank. But
sure.
they very, very much so frowned upon it, and I had to say sorry. it's working, and you guys are putting my family in danger by telling me I can't do this.
Right. Well, and but, if you're the parent...
I fully... So many things happened with that whole story. I can't even tell you that.
I'm sure. But if you're the parent, then be the parent. And I believe in that. You intuitively are the parent, and you intuitively, you know, do your thing as a parent. And I can respect that. Thank you. I love the call, though. Thank you.
Now, that being said, I do want to say there are many people in the foster care system who are good people, and they really do care about the kids, and they're trying.
Oh, I know they do.
They're just working with a flawed system.
No, I know they do, because I've been on that end of it. So I've taken kids in my home. So, yes, I totally get it. Trust me. Thank you for that. Yeah, I have been. So,
but the issue became, it becomes one of...
Dealt with it.
People are being told not to discipline their children.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. I think there's something that needs to be said about, because I'm 38. I've been raising my kids, and this is what I've been hearing since I was little. It's a parent's job to make sure that kids have it better than I had growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's completely wrong.
Okay. What do you think?
My job, I have three boys. Mm-hmm. My job is to make sure that my boys are better men than I am now. It's not to give them everything. It's to make sure they're better than me.
Amen. Yep.
Period.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Love it.
He's going to have three good young men.
Yeah, he's going to have three good young men. Thank you for that. Wow. Yeah. Hats off.
This problem really goes much deeper than a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
In our court system... Mm-hmm. We have people now that have been problems since they were teenagers that are now 40 and 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the courthouse and watch these cases, their 70-year-old parents are still in there defending them.
Right. Oh, I get that. I do. I understand that. I just think with this today... We have such a problem with blowing it so far out of proportion that we can't reel it back in. And if we treat somebody's picture on a text or social media or something like this as a crime and turn that into some sort of mass shooting, how do you take that leap? I mean, we have to settle down. We've got to start having some common sense about this. And parents do need to step up, and parents do need to be better parents. But we got to rein the schools in from taking the job over completely.
Yes, absolutely.
And then turning them over to the cops every 5 seconds. I mean, come on, this is getting embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for people, for grown adults that think that this is okay. These are kids still. We forget that. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.